Well, the Supreme Court has made major rulings. It looks like society is changing its viewpoints. Does that mean it's time for us to change our strategy? Are you kidding me?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, you are tuned in to the right program today. Your hearts are going to get stirred, my friends. Your faith is going to get built. Your courage is going to rise and be strengthened. Your hackles will rise too. But as we hear some disturbing information on campuses, right to the White House, we are going to respond not with anger, not with hatred, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-348-7884 is the number to call to join in the conversation today on The Line of Fire. Friends, there is an increasing wave of hostility, hatred, and intolerance coming our way. There's a reason that about 9 years ago, God began to lay it on my heart to get involved with issues having to do with homosexuality, laying it on my heart to reach out to the people with compassion, which we continue to do and seek to do more and more, and seek to encourage you to have God's heart to reach out to individuals loved by God for whom Jesus died, people who've often been hurt and bruised and injured by the church in our insensitivities. Reach out to the people with compassion. I've said that the first thing you need if you're going to get involved in opposing gay activism is that you'd rather not do it because your hearts break for the individuals involved so much and you know that you're going to be perceived as an enemy. But you do it because unless we resist gay activism with courage, we will not even be able to have broadcasts like this on the air. And I am not a conspiratorial theorist. I am not one of these chicken little guys running around saying the sky is falling when everyone says this is it. It's the end of the age. Everything's collapsing. I'm looking for God to do something great and glorious in the midst of it. But the word I've had for years, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage, has never been more relevant. And there are government leaders. There are leaders in the courts. Across society, there are people saying, we don't care what your votes are, and we don't care what your express will is, because you're intolerant bigots, and we're going to take away your rights because you don't have the right to be intolerant. And if you want to know some of the hatred, anger, fury that's under the surface, listen to this clip. It's from a YouTube video put up by Campus Reform. There is a Christian standing on a campus quietly with a sign, basically saying, give me a short period of time, I can prove to you the existence of God. And some jogger comes by, and listen to what he has to say.
I'd be glad to debate you.
The debate, I think you're, it's
afraid,
over.
You're afraid of it.
I am afraid of getting queer bashed or called a
She's not even violent.
No, but his ideology supports violence.
I'm sick and tired of Christians being tolerated. You need to do something about the Christians on here. I don't feel comfortable with
that. Friends, that is what is coming our way. That was one individual pent up with anger and rage. But those of us who hold to simple biblical values, those of us who hold to simple moral values, those who hold to God's ways being best, are being singled out for opposition. I have been asked, I was asked on Friday, is it time that we change our strategy? The courts have ruled and society's changing. Maybe we need to capitulate here and change our strategy. Oh boy, you talk about spiritual, moral suicide. Stay with me. I'll tell you why.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. On the way in to the program today, to the studio here, I flipped on the radio, and Rush Limbaugh was on, and he referenced himself. If you listen to his show, you are on the cutting edge of societal evolution. It struck me, listen to Rush Limbaugh, be on the cutting edge of societal revolution. Listen to The Line of Fire and be on the cutting edge of Jesus revolution. I'd rather be on the cutting edge of Jesus revolution than societal evolution, wouldn't you? By Jesus revolution, I mean put down the sword and take up the cross. Put down the sword of violence, put down the sword of anger, put down the sword of intimidation, put down the sword of hatred. Take up the cross of love, self-sacrifice, holiness, purity, humility. But that does not mean capitulation. That does not mean moral collapse. Now, here's what has happened. Those of us who differ with the redefinition of marriage, those of us who feel there's a difference between a man and a woman, those of us who feel that a kid who identifies as a boy in a girl's body needs help from the inside out rather than sex change surgery and have their birth certificates changed. Yes, that's being done now, certain parts of the country. If you can imagine that. Those of us who feel that God's ways are best are now being viewed with open hostility as bigots who are opposing the civil rights of others. So this, for years now, has been presented as the civil rights issue. Gay is the new black. That's the way it's presented. You're born this way. You can't change. Just as blacks were persecuted, gays have been persecuted. It's time for enlightenment. We were wrong on slavery. We were wrong on segregation. We were wrong on interracial marriage. We're wrong on this. That's the way it's being presented. And with an extraordinary force of anger and hostility coming our way, an extraordinary force of intolerance coming our way, that's how it's all being presented and packaged. The media has bought into it hook, line, and sinker. Our president has. The president of the United States even tweeted, "Love is love." I'll come back to that in a little while. I had an interesting Twitter exchange with a young lady about that over the weekend. In fact, if you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article, you can read the entire Twitter exchange that I had with her. But friends, this is the mentality. Now, let's play clip number three.
Marquise had asked, "When are you and Mommy getting married?" And, "Well, we're working on it. We're working on it." "Why can't it just be the way it is for everyone else? Why wouldn't you want my children to have the same rights and benefits and whatever else comes with marriage than yours? Equality never hurt anyone."
Let's be clear. This is the unfinished business of black people being free.
Yeah, that is from a documentary, Yoruba Richin, The New Black, a documentary about African-American attitudes toward gay marriage. And, of course, it's received the AFI-Docs Film Festival's Award for Best Feature. And this is what our president had to say in terms of the Supreme Court decision.
"What's true, though, is that you still have a whole bunch of states that do not recognize it. The Supreme Court continued to leave it up to the states to make these decisions, and we are going to have to go back and do a legal analysis of what that means. It's my personal belief, but I'm speaking now as a president as opposed to as a lawyer, that if you've been married in Massachusetts and you move someplace else, you're still married, and that under federal law, you should be able to obtain the benefits of any lawfully married couple."
Did you hear that? Our president making it clear that 30 states that voted, the will of the people, 30 states that voted and said, "We want marriage enshrined in our Constitution, an amendment saying it is the union of a man and a woman." The president saying, "Well, you, quote, get married, two men get, quote, married in Massachusetts, they move to Texas, they move to Florida, they move to North Carolina, they move to any of the other 30 states that voted this way, they should have the right to be recognized as married. And other gay activists, I've got some specific quotes I'll play for you later, saying, we want this the law of the land within 5 years. We think we can do it. Meaning over, like it or not, it's coming your way. Like it or not, it's coming your way. Now, I want to speak with absolute candor from my heart to all of those who voted for Mr. Obama, in particular to my African-American Christian friends, pastors, leaders, believers listening to me. Can you give me your best ear for a moment? I have such honor and respect for the African-American church in America. I have such love for so many of my brothers and sisters that I've worked with and known through the years. Now, many did not vote for Mr. Obama, but I know that some of you did. And I know that you love the Lord. And I know, I don't know every one of you, but I know that many of you love the Lord. And many of you wrestled with this. You've called and told me about the battling and wrestling that you did. And you felt you can't vote for Mr. Romney because of his Mormonism. And it's important to vote because of the price that was paid so that you could vote. I do not want to dishonor you. And because I know that it has been a matter of honor for us to finally have an African-American president, to have a black family in the White House, that I have been very sparing in my criticism because I do not want to drive you away. If we have so many areas of solidarity and commonality, if in so many ways I speak for you and you say amen to what I'm saying, and many of you support our ministry financially, and so many with prayer, and so many with words of encouragement, that I have been very sparing. This is not conservative talk radio. You can watch certain TV shows, listen to certain radio shows, and Mr. Obama will be bashed every single day. And there are liberal shows you can listen to and watch. And when Mr. Bush was the president, he was getting bashed every day. This is not a political talk show. This is not conservative talk radio. I am on Christian radio across America for a good reason. The perspective I bring, I do my best to bring a kingdom perspective on the news and what's happening in the world. But please hear me. We, as Americans, made a grave, grave mistake in electing Mr. Obama the first time and reelecting him the second time. It would have been better to have a protest vote for a third-party candidate if you couldn't vote for the Republican. It would have been better to sit out the election rather than to empower him as the most pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president in our nation's history, to the point of fighting the right of a business like Hobby Lobby to say we are not going to provide birth control, we're not going to provide abortion-inducing drugs or other things like that for our employees as part of healthcare. We refuse to do that. And the Obama administration said, we're going to force it and fight it in the courts. I have been very careful not to dishonor our president and not to dishonor those who are proud to see him in the White House. But I'm urging you, there are more important issues right now. I have spoken the truth as I felt led to and let the chips fall where they may. I have spoken the truth, even if it meant alienating a white listener, alienating a conservative white evangelical Republican, alienating an African-American liberal Democrat. I've spoken the truth in love, regardless of where the chips are going to fall. And I regularly run into precious black listeners of this broadcast who are surprised to meet me or see me on TV and find out that I'm white. So that means there has been sufficient sensitivity in my heart that you know I am not a basher. And there's not a racial bone in my body in terms of favoring one group over another or looking a certain way. I'm very self-critical of the Jewish people. I am very self-critical of white Americans. I'm very self-critical of conservative evangelicals. Down the list, down the list. However, I am not going to worry. I haven't, but I'm just stating it again. I am not going to worry about who I offend by speaking the truth here. Our president is absolutely on the wrong side of these issues and is helping to lead the nation against our freedoms of religion, speech, and conscience. He is helping to lead the nation to overturn the will of the people. We must understand what is happening and what is coming our way. When we come back, I want to play a clip from Friday where Glenn from Maryland asked if it's time to change our approach. You'll hear my response then. I'm going to give a further response now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're going to get to your phone calls in a moment, 866-348-7884. We also are doing something brand new with a special audio offer that you'll be able to download. I'll tell you about that in a little while. And 10-day countdown starting today, 10 days until we launch our TV show. We'd love to hear from many of you. Become monthly supporters. Stand with us, answering your toughest questions. It'll be airing in more than 32 million homes, plus live online. And we're going to start with a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Never been done before on national TV. So please go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click right on the homepage, the first slide that comes up will invite you to find out more about the TV broadcast. So just click on that slide. You'll see it right on the homepage. Can't miss it, in fact. All right, I'm going to play that call from Friday a little later in the broadcast. But listen to this from The Daily Show. This, of course, is on the Comedy Channel, Comedy Central. Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, and others with well, a lot of influence, watched by millions of people across America, and overtly, openly mocking our views. Listen to this recent exchange.
What about those that the March of Progress has left behind?
Christians are getting bullied. The Christians that I talk to are intimidated. They'll often get persecuted.
For what?
For just saying that they believe that homosexuality is wrong or that homosexuals are sinful, just like adulterers, just like pedophiles, just like liars, just like thieves. I'm just informing them.
Okay, so the homosexuals don't like that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're not very tolerant.
So, hey, jerks, be more tolerant of your intolerance.
All right. We are going to have a broadcast soon, I hope, with Matt Slick, who is the Christian gentleman being interviewed by The Daily Show there. The what you actually saw on TV was completely edited to make him look like a jerk and make our position look like a jerk. And in fact, they completely lied to him in setting the program up. Oh, I know it. I knew. Trust me, I've got behind the scenes details. We hope to play the rest of the story for you. But our view is being openly, completely mocked. 866-348-7884. And I want to give you my take on this now. There's no question that it is open season on conservative believers. There's no question that we have now officially, nationally been painted as the intolerant, hate-filled bigots. Justice Anthony Kennedy, in his ruling for the majority, made it very clear that he has now fully imbibed, drunk in the gay activist Kool-Aid. He has imbibed and taken in all of the talking points and made clear the only possible reason anyone could oppose to men marrying or to women marrying is because of animus, because of bigotry, because they want to discriminate against a particular segment of the population. And now it's as if the media all the more gladly and political leaders all the more gladly are saying, absolutely, you intolerant bigots are going to have to go in the closet. Friends, I've been saying it for years and years and years. that those gay activists who came out of the closet 40 plus years ago, fighting for what in their minds was equality, tolerance, fairness, those who came out of the closet have made it clear they want to put you and me in the closet. You do not have the right to dissent. President and CEO of Chick-fil-A just tweets an announcement. Sad day for America on the day of the Supreme Court decision. He's absolutely blasted Pillar Post for daring to tweet that. You are not allowed to hold an opposing position. And we are being told increasingly you do not have the right to vote for it. If you vote for it, we're going to overturn it. Friends, it has been written on my heart for many years. I refuse to bow down to anything other than the will of God. I will walk with humility towards all. I will walk with the utmost respect towards those in authority. But when those in authority tell me I have to compromise my convictions, I have to zip it, I can't speak truth anymore, I cannot hold to what the Word of God says, regardless of what area that is, I refuse to bow down to anything other than the will of God. Winston Churchill said this: an appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last. Friends, that's what we have been doing in the church. That's the spirit of capitulation that we have imbibed in the church. That's the mindset, the attitude that we have taken on. If we can just be nicer, let's not fight. Okay, we lost the vote here. Let's just let the courts change things. Let's the school change things. Let society change things. After all, who are we to impose our views on those? We're not imposing our views. We're simply saying we have the right to speak. We have the right to hold to our convictions. We have the right to vote. And we know that when a society goes against God, the blessing of God will not be upon us. So our interest is in the best interest of our society. John Wesley said this: never dream of forcing men into the ways of God. Think yourself and let think. Use no constraint in matters of religion. Even those who are farthest out of the way, never compelled to come in by any other means than reason, truth, and love. I affirm that wholeheartedly. We are not trying to impose something on others. We put down the sword of violence. We put down the sword of anger. We put down the sword of intimidation. We put down the sword of coercion. And we take up the cross, meaning self-sacrifice and love and compassion and truth and following in the Jesus pattern of changing the world. But you better believe we're not going to back down. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to go in the closet, regardless of cost or consequence. That is what it means to be a disciple and be a follower of Jesus. And what people don't realize is the more we capitulate in these other social areas, the more we will lose our ability even to preach the full message of the gospel plainly and clearly, and even hold to our own convictions in our churches and even in our private schools and homes. Refuse to bow down to anything other than the will of God. All right. We come back. Our phone lines are jammed. I want to get to your calls, but it was very important for me to express all of that to you. The most popular teaching series I ever did is called Giants of the Faith. I taught on 8 different leaders: George Whitefield, Charles Finney, missionary Adoniram Judson, Praying Hyde, Man of Faith Smith Wigglesworth. I taught on these men and women of God. And the lives of people who heard these have been forever changed. It's called Giants of the Faith, especially those of you who come from a Pentecostal charismatic background. We cover some of those as well, and even look at some who went off the deep end, like John Alexander Dowie. You can get this on CD or audio download for your gift of any size. 12 hours of teaching. I've been asked for a long time to make this available in this way. We're finally doing it. Your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size. And if you'd like to get an audio download, when you call in, just give us your email address, and within 24 hours, you'll be sent the code so you can have this downloaded, be listening to it within 24 hours with an email address. 1-800-278-9978. On with the Jesus Revolution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Yeah, my heart is burning today. 866-348-7884. I want to go to your calls momentarily. I'm going to share a Twitter exchange I had over the weekend. You can read it all by going to askdrbrown.org and clicking on latest article. I also wrote another article called Playing Candy Crush Saga While America Burns. You can read that by going to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest article and you'll see these two articles, the most illustrative Twitter exchange and Playing Candy Crush Saga While America Burns. I think you'll find both of them eye-opening, informative, and helpful. Friends, I live to help equip you to be a world changer. I live to help serve you to go out in your world and make a difference. And we each have our role. There are things you do I can't do. There are things I do you can't do. That's the beauty of the body. That's the beauty of a symphony orchestra. That's the power of a team. Together, we're making a difference. And I serve in this capacity as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, supported by you, our tremendous listeners. 866-348-7884. Let's start with Nancy in Manhattan. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And Nancy, I just want to mention to you that normally we have a little bit longer gap before we let someone call back. However, we have now officially switched over to a wonderful new call screener, Dwight. And because Dwight didn't know the last time you called, you slipped through. But to be honest, I figured it was you, and I thought I'd let you slip in again because I always like to hear from you. So go ahead, dear sister.
I'm sorry. I didn't even pay attention to the time gap.
No. Don't sweat it. That's not for you to worry about. That's something our call screeners say. When I saw it was you, I thought I always like to hear from Nancy, our RN pro-life friend in Manhattan, and miraculously healed of a severe asthma attack 30-something years ago. That's the latest I've learned
about you.
But please go ahead.
Okay, married 43 years to a man, okay? But I just wanted to let you know, sir, that I kind of want to apologize because I feel that, you know, our Caucasian persuasion Christian friends have been painted into a bit of a corner. And I just want to let you know that, to me, the premier African-American leader that spoke for us in the 20th century was Dr. Martin Luther King. And I was alive, 14 years old, when he stood on the steps of the Washington Mall, and he said that he had a dream. And that dream was that people would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that thing shot through me like lightning, and it stuck with me all my years. And even though I was on college campuses that really had a really hard time because we were African American and the police were abusing us, and we stood up against that. We stood up against it, okay? Now, having said that, I know that when I wrestled this out with my God Almighty, he said that you have to be Christian first. He says, and then you're politically African-American second. And so that is what ruled my vote and has ruled my vote ever since George W.H.W. ran for president. And ever since then, because we have a character problem here. This is not a race problem. This is a character problem with this president. And I'm sorry, he's handsome as all get out, and I wouldn't mind having a conversation with him, but that is as far as it goes, as far as I'm concerned.
Bless you, Nancy, for weighing in. Articulate, clear-headed as always, and I'm sure speaking for many people of all color, race, background. Are we willing to put character, truth, policy, standards before the color of someone's skin? I am. I bet you are.
Change the world.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's listen to the Young Turks, obviously not sharing our viewpoint on their TV program. This is how they feel about folks like you and me.
I'm going to be real. Sometimes when we win on an issue, I feel a little bit uncomfortable bragging about it. Like, let's say there was a war we wanted to engage in, us liberals, and we won. I would feel a little bit bad for those who lost because I would understand their position. I have never felt less bad about gloating in my entire life.
Yep, time to gloat. The bigots lost. The intolerant, hateful ones lost. The Stone Age people believing in a Bronze Age God holding to these antiquated views that gender actually matters, that there's a difference between a man and a woman, that a kid does best with a mom and a dad, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. These Stone Age bigots with their Bronze Age God. It's good that they're having to lose in the courts now and see their bigoted ways crumble. It's time for a rise of tolerance and enlightenment. Remember, friends, diversity in the gay activist lexicon means my way or the highway. Being inclusive means total exclusion of all views that differ. That's what this means. Being tolerant means utter intolerance towards all opposing viewpoints. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in Elmont, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing? I'm sorry, I apologize. I'll just put my headphones on, I can hear it better. I wanted to say that, we're definitely feeding a monster. I agree with you when you said we were buying into all these things. Our country has killed 53 million babies. You know, homosexuality, to me, even though it's a small percentage of people, the political people are doing this for, their own reasons. They're not telling us the truth. They've become pure corruption, And our country, the corruption in our country is rearing its ugly head before our eyes. And I say, as Christians, we need to get down to business every day, pray for our leadership, for salvation. And we need to realize that we're not engaging in a military style, although we do wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't.
Steve, it's right. It's a spiritual battle, and yes.
Right.
We vote and we take stands that we take. But Justice Kennedy, who was the swing vote in the Supreme Court here, and as I said in the last half hour, who has fully imbibed the gay activist talking points and agenda, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan. So we have to realize that this is deeper than politics. It is a spiritual battle for the soul of our nation. I'm absolutely with you, Steve. And friends, that's why I printed up. We're distributing as many as we can. We have for free download 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Just go to my website, click on search, and write in 10 commitments, or just commitments. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. And it begins with a deeper commitment to spend quality time with God in prayer and the Word, and to live a holy and godly life. That's where the change is going to come. But I sense something rising, friends. I sense a determination, a hunger, a thirst rising. I sense more and more people saying enough is enough and realizing that we've got to turn to God like never before. As I've said for some time now, the bad news is the good news. Things have gone so far that it is only natural for us to stand up for what is right. We really don't even have a choice. 866-348-7884. Brenda in Manhattan, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Brenda.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Brenda.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's an honor to speak to you.
Well, thank you.
I just want to say a comment and then ask you a quick question. I, as a Pentecostal, I grew up, I was around many teenagers that were in the church that were homosexuals, but it was hidden because you're not supposed to be homosexual because you're told you're going to go to hell. And it seems that the church, in many instances, does not address the issue of homosexuality. It's like a taboo. They either send you to hell or they don't want to talk about it. And I saw many of these youth that grew up with me getting married with the opposite sex and then ending up in a divorce. One of them got AIDS and ended up dying. And it's like the issue, I believe that as Christians, we must love the sinner, not the sin. But the issue has to be addressed. Like, right now I have a nephew that's going through an identity crisis. My sister, as a Pentecostal, does not want to accept it. But I know he's gay, so, but I can't reject him. But at the same time, I cannot applaud it because I cannot go against the word of God. But I still don't want him to feel that I don't love him, that I'm not there, that the word is not there. But what do we do? It's like, there's no power.
Yeah, let me address that, because what you're saying is so important. And again, the word that I received over 8 years ago now was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. Now, I know many who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender are very offended personally when we stand against activist goals. I recognize that. Nonetheless, the reaching out is done one by one. The reaching out is done by our tone, by our attitude. And your average kid growing up today with same-sex attraction is fully convinced, not just by his or her experience, but by what the media tells him. You were born this way. There's nothing you could do to change. This is who you are. So either they feel that way by their own experience. You may be listening to me saying, yeah, at least you got it, old man. That's exactly how I feel. You weren't born like this. I was. When did you become heterosexual? You've always been. Well, I've always been homosexual. I understand how people feel. I understand how deeply rooted it is. I understand that the media then says it's innate and immutable. You're born this way. You can't change. It's just like skin color. So that's what's in this person's mind. And even when we say we love the sinner but hate the sin, they hear you hate me. So what we need to do, Brenda, is simply this. We need to 100% love whoever comes to us and says, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, say, my love towards you, my attitude towards you, my posture towards you, my commitment to you is deeper now than it was before. I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to be a better mom, better dad, better brother, better sister, better pastor than I've ever been. And we're going to talk about this from the pulpit, that some people struggle with same-sex attraction, that they fight it tooth and nail, they pray, they cry themselves to sleep, they fast, they have demons driven out of them, they go to counseling, therapy, and they can't seem to change, and they feel that either they're going to go to hell because of this, or else they're going to have to embrace this identity, otherwise they're going to lose their mind, they're going to commit suicide. We need to talk about this completely openly. We need to say God's standards of holiness and purity remain the same in terms of our practice and our lifestyle. But God did not say this. A former lesbian said this. I've repeated it since. God never said, be thou heterosexual, because I, the Lord your God, am heterosexual. He said, be thou holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. So that being the case, what we need to do is talk openly, have an open forum in which people can come out with their struggles, without affirming homosexual practice, without redefining marriage, but with love, with sensitivity, with compassion, with long-suffering, to say, look, every one of us is broken. Every one of us is flawed. Every one of us has struggles that we've had from our earliest childhood in one way or another, personality traits, things that were in us, things we developed over the years that just seem to be part of who we are. And look, some of us, you know, you can't give up coffee. You can't stop smoking cigarettes. I struggle with giving up chocolate. Well, how much deeper is it to talk about someone's romantic desires and sexual attractions? That's a whole lot deeper than coffee, cigarettes, and chocolate. Okay. So we need to just have tremendous compassion. You need to encourage your family member. You just love on your kid. It doesn't mean you're approving homosexuality. You spend more time with them, get more involved with his life, and don't make homosexuality the focus. Make the individual the focus, that you care about them, that you're a friend, that you're there for them, and help that person to embrace Jesus and embrace holiness and not worry about 20, am I going to be alone 20 years from it? Don't worry about it. Right now, let Jesus be enough. And as he works in that person's life, they will find wholeness. They may even find heterosexuality, but they will certainly find holiness. Brenda, I want to send you a series on DVD that I did for you and others in your family to watch. It's called Can You Be Gay and Christian? And maybe your nephew will watch it too. And there are guidelines on that, how to minister to the gay and lesbian community. Stay right there. Dwight is going to get your contact info. Can You Be Gay and Christian? Our DVD series. Stay right there.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I believe at the root of who we are as a people, as Americans, is the basic precept that we are all equal under the law. We believe in basic fairness. You know, what I think yesterday's ruling signifies is one more step towards ensuring that those basic principles apply to everybody.
Supreme Court ruling last week, and in the background, these were put together. Of course, this did not happen at the same moment. Lady Gaga singing a new version of our national anthem, not the home of the brave, but the home of the gay. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Pastor Jay in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks, sir, for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, are you there? All right, tell you what, Dwight, just help him. He may be listening on radio, and there's a delay there. Greg in Miami, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
How you doing?
Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
You know, I'm old enough to remember growing up in the evangelical church in the 80s when certain hot-button topics were the rage and were echoed from basically every pulpit you could find in America from an evangelical platform. I remember, the issue of evolution, the young earth creationists sort of demanding that, you know, if you're going to be faithful to God, you had to believe in young earth creationism and evolution was a lie. And, reject the science of the so-called science of evolution, et cetera, et cetera. There was backmasking. I kind of feel like what you're doing is very similar. I think this is just one of those kind of hobby horses that evangelicals get on, and this is the one for right now.
All right, so hang on, just to understand this, you were saying, you were equating, saying that you have to hold to young earth creationism is equivalent to saying you need to say that marriage is supposed to be the union between a man and a woman?
Yes, because what it's doing is you're making the narrow way of Jesus even more narrow. We know that the way of Christ
hang on. I did not establish this, number one, as a test for orthodoxy. That's first thing. Second thing...
I've heard you do it before. You question someone's spirituality based on what they believe about homosexuality. You set up a peripheral teaching or a peripheral doctrine as a doctrine of primary import. It's a colossal error, sir.
Number one, Greg, I have not made it a test of spiritual orthodoxy. That's the first thing.
Okay.
I've questioned many other things, but I've not made it an ultimate test of spiritual orthodoxy. However, I could not disagree with you more plainly. You might as well say, hey, it's okay to kill babies in the womb because the Bible, in the book of Acts, they didn't preach in order to be saved, you had to stop killing babies. And hey, where does Jesus make it a test about baby killing? Or here, Gosnell, killing babies outside the womb, all right? Why should we make that a line of demarcation? Should we say all Christians need to stand against that?
I think that there's great arguments on both sides for this, and I think it's a great debate.
Give me one argument. Give me one. Great. Give me one argument on the side of Christians do not have to take a stand on killing babies outside of the womb. And it's peripheral if we do. And it's like arguing about young earth creationism.
No, but what you're doing, you're switching sides there. Today's discussion.
I'm happy to pursue the issue on redefining marriage. If that is a foundation that Jesus himself, God, listen to me. That's a foundation from Genesis, at the foundation of creation that the Bible explicitly lays out from Genesis to Revelation, with massive societal repercussions ultimately taking away our freedom of speech, liberty, and conscience if we don't stand on the right side here. And Jesus himself reaffirms God's design for marriage. I'm perfectly happy to stay there. But when you come up with this bogus comparison that has absolutely no basis in fact whatsoever...
I think it does, and if you give me a second, I'd like to explain why I think it is.
I'm giving you an opportunity because time is limited. I'm looking at the clock that's ticking here. All right, why it is peripheral that a believer does not have to stand up against baby killing because that makes the narrow way more narrow. Please explain to me why it is peripheral to stand for righteousness. Jesus urges us to. He tells us we're the salt and the light.
You said that the issue of homosexuality was not a litmus test for orthodoxy. Did you not say that?
It depends where you go with it.
Well,
I did not say you're not saved. If
you're saying you're not following Jesus, you're not an authentic
Greg, if you let me finish the sentence, you'd know where I stand. But I don't think you called to learn. You called to accuse, which is fine. It goes two ways. This is live talk radio. But you got 30 seconds because I got a break. The hour is ending. You got 30 seconds to explain why it is peripheral to say that Christians should not stand against killing babies outside the womb. Why that is making the narrow way more narrow.
I'm not going to make that argument because that's a separate topic for a separate
time. Is it making the narrow way more narrow? Yes or no?
No, I'm pro-life, sir, so I would not...
Is it making the narrow way more... Fine. So you're pro-life, I'm pro-God, pro-family, pro-marriage. You are making the narrow way more narrow where you have a conviction for it because you don't have the conviction on this, Greg.
No, the difference between you and I, sir, is that I allow for debate and I believe that there are thinking...
Greg, I have a live talk... Greg, look, I have a live talk radio show. I have tens of thousands of posts on all these websites across the internet where people can weigh in with whatever in the world they want. But I'm sounding the alarm to the church that if we don't get this right, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and grandkids, period. And if you're pro-life, if you think you can follow Jesus, Greg, and support a Dr. Gosnell killing babies outside the womb and follow Jesus at the same time, then you are wrong. And you need to reevaluate your beliefs. And if you say you can't, then you're making the way more narrow or perhaps embracing the proper narrow way. Greg, let's try to talk another day. I would love to. I would love to have a longer conversation. Time does not permit it. Get your copy of Giants of the Faith, the most popular teaching series I've ever done, especially if you're from charismatic Pentecostal background. There's some leaders on there as well that we talk about. The number one teaching series I've ever done for your gift of any size. And if you'd rather download it than get it on a CD, we'll give you a download code within 24 hours if you give the email when you call in 1-800-278-9978. Eight of the most influential Christian leaders in church history taught on in great, inspiring depth, learning from their errors as well. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, society is shifting and sliding. We are called to be the moral conscience of the society. Will we stand or will we apologize to God and our kids? Well, the Supreme Court has made major rulings. It looks like society is changing its viewpoints. Does that mean it's time for us to change our strategy? Are you kidding me?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, I had a very interesting afternoon yesterday, friends. I was getting ready to start doing some writing at a wonderful church service in the morning Nancy and I attended, and God really stirred many hearts. And then went out to lunch with some friends, got home, took a nap because I go to sleep very late, so getting up for a service, needed a nap in the afternoon. And then I noticed someone tweeting me, sending me a Twitter message, and I can't respond to most, but this one caught my attention. So I engaged this young woman named Melissa, and it got quite interesting. We actually published the exchange as an article on Town Hall. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. I'm going to share that with you in a moment, but it illustrates what we're facing in society today. 866-348-7884. In fact, Joey, let's go back to clip number one that we played in the first hour. There is a man on campus, a Christian man on campus, and he's simply holding a sign. He's just holding a sign. It says, in 5 seconds, I can hand you proof that God created the heavens and the earth and that Jesus Christ can save your soul. On the flip side, it is easy to be an atheist. And a jogger comes by and is very upset. And this is the interaction that follows.
I'd be glad to debate you.
The debate,
I think you're
is afraid. Over.
You're afraid of it.
I am afraid of getting queer bashed or called a
she's not even violent.
No, but his ideology supports violence.
I'm sick and tired of Christians being tolerated. You need to do something about the Christians on here. I don't feel comfortable with
that. Maybe an extreme voice, but a representative voice. The Christians are the danger. Am I saying that we're going to have our heads chopped off like just happened in Syria? Catholic priest beheaded, looks like a kitchen knife. Some others beheaded along with him. Oh, and by the way, these are the, quote, rebels that we are supporting. That's why I wrote a couple of weeks ago, we need to stay out of Syria militarily. This is a conflict between Muslims. But friends, please do hear me. There is a heightened wave of intolerance, hatred, bigotry coming our way. And no matter how we posture ourselves, no matter how loving, gentle, kind-hearted, meek-spirited we may be, we will be utterly blasted as intolerant bigots who do not have the right to hold to what we believe. The Supreme Court has made plain, forget the will of the people. Will of the people? That does not matter. The will of the people will be overturned. Because the will of the people is bigoted. When the will of the people was for segregation, it deserved to be overturned. Now that the will of the people in state after state in America, over 30 states, is marriage is the union of a male and a female. No, that needs to be overturned. And our president is helping to lead the way. 866-348-7884. We come back. And by the way, when this jogger, this fellow that was jogging by the Christian on campus, says you need to do something about the Christians, he's talking to the campus police. And trust me, there are plenty of campuses that have already come against freedom of speech on campus. Freedom of speech, even freedom of thought, freedom of the right to dissent. Time that we wake up. So do we change our strategy? We'll talk about it when we come back. I'm going to share more of the Twitter interchange and take your calls.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. A little later in the show, I want to play a clip from last week. A caller called wondering, do we change our strategy now that things have gone the way they have in the courts? And of course, it's just the beginning of a massively long battle over marriage issues and family issues. But do we change our course? I'll play that clip for you a little later and elaborate on it a bit more as well. But a quote I've sent out earlier today by Winston Churchill. By sent out, I mean put on social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. Winston Churchill said, "An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last." That's where appeasement gets us, friends. 866-348-7884. Okay, let me go to the phones first. But please understand that the hostility towards us as believers is coming on several different levels now. It's coming the way it would always come, that as followers of Jesus, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be opposed. As followers of Jesus, there is always going to be opposition to our viewpoint because we proclaim a holy God, we proclaim the wrongness of sin, we proclaim Jesus as the only way. And he said, remember, if the world hates us, it hated him first. We should always expect that. Secondly, there is opposition because we hold to God's ways in society. We say God's ways are best. We're not trying to impose them or force them. We're just holding to our rights as citizens to hold to these views and to vote and act accordingly. But we are looked at as trying to impose old religious bigoted bias ways on society. Number three, we've blown it many ways. We've been hypocritical, and because we've fallen short, because of that, we are viewed negatively. And fourth, because homosexuality is now being viewed as innate, immutable, the new black, and therefore a civil rights issue, that the hostility towards us is as if we were Ku Klux Klan and the like. There's no surprise in this. This has been spoken of for years and years and years. However, we simply need to recognize where things are. Today, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Pastor Jay in Brooklyn. We tried to connect earlier without success. I hope you're there, sir.
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Always good to hear from our friends in Brooklyn. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I want to applaud you for your stance on your moral and ethical, things that's happening, because our society is really just turning everything around. And I just wanted to share with you from a pastoral perspective. I counsel HIV and AIDS clients, and the problems that I'm addressed with at times, we're not allowed to talk to them about God or Christianity or salvation. But they want me to talk to them and give them words of comfort when they're coming to me having issues with pre-op and post-op surgeries, and the men are changing their genders, and now they're not transgenders is how we're supposed to refer to them, and things of this nature. And then some of them are coming to me saying that they're born this way, and I almost got in a little trouble because I said, let me help you. I said, when the creator of the Cadillac decided to make the Escalade, he made it as big and rugged as he could make it. Now, the Escalade could not say to the creator, I'm an Escalade on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a Hyundai. God would not make that mistake either. In other words, he put in us what he wanted, for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if he made us a man, we're a man. If he made us a woman, we're a woman. If we struggle with these issues due to incest and rape, and majority of the time, this is where this has come from. It's not that folk are born this way. They have been exposed to this, and now they're beginning to believe it, to believe that this is a right way, because the media and society and all the sitcoms and the cartoons and everything is pointing toward this being right. And if I think it was Billy Graham that said, if God does not judge America. He owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. He does not owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology because America is truly turned their back on God. And
let me just jump in and ask you a question then. So you are a professional counselor as well as a pastor, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So as a professional counselor, you have certain guidelines. You have to be within those guidelines. And obviously the time may come when you'll say, sorry, I can't comply with this. You're saying that you're dealing with people now pre-op, they're on their way to sex change surgery, or post-op, they're coming in with their problems. Others who identify as transgender and haven't had surgery, but maybe they're on hormones and getting ready. And you're saying that the vast majority of cases, you're able to trace back where this comes from, some instance of sexual abuse, incest, or being maybe dressed as the opposite sex as a child or something like that. So you're saying you can actually trace this back with many of your clients. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's very accurate.
All right. So what would happen if you did this? If you are you allowed to say to them, as a professional counselor, I can only say this and this. If you would like to come to me completely outside of my role as a professional counselor and like to speak to me as a pastor, where I will now be speaking completely unofficially as a therapist and counselor and only as a pastor concerned for your spiritual well-being, you can contact me through the church. Are you allowed to do that?
Well, I put it like this. I don't know if I'm allowed to do it, but I know I have done it.
Yes, sir. Well, I'd encourage you to
correct yourself.
Right. I'd encourage you to do that. And if you need to have someone help you draw up some type of official disclaimer so that you can do that professionally and then continue to minister to people, I'd encourage you, if you need any legal guidelines on it, just go to telladf.org, the Alliance Defending Freedom, telladf.org, telladf.org. And just ask for specific guidelines, because I'm sure there's a way that you can do this. You can take the one hat off and you can say to this person totally unofficially and give them the information, or have a colleague or someone come in and give them the information. Because I know if I were you, I would be unable to just sit there. Either I would end up crossing the line and either having to challenge what I can and can't do in court, or losing my license, or else I'd have to refer people spiritually. But obviously, when you get to a point like this, sir, where you know where the person is hurting and why they're hurting, and you are not allowed to help them get to the core of this, where now God is systematically ruled out, whereas even scientific studies demonstrate often the spiritual side of man or an inexplicable side of human beings, obviously, it's important to do that. So keep standing strong. May the Lord use you with the information, the insights you have. Obviously, you have compassion on people in the midst of their struggles. You sit with them. It's got to be heartbreaking to do so, but may the Lord use you with a whole team of prayer warriors and others that you can help train in the city to help set thousands of captives free, because I believe that they are going to be coming to our churches. Those struggling with same-sex attraction, bisexuality, gender identity issues, flooding our churches, not to protest, not to yell. Some may yell on the outside, but on the inside they'll be hurting, and it's going to be time for us to reach out with compassion, to go out, have a meal with a man who's dressed like a woman, and just share the love of Jesus with him. I believe it's harvest time, so thank you for doing what you're doing, sir. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, too. Keep on doing what
you're doing. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I will get to your calls on the other side of the break. So this young lady, Melissa, sends a Twitter message to me, and I don't see a lot of them that come in, and I can't respond to the vast majority, but I saw this one. Listening to your show, this was yesterday, Sunday, listening to your show while driving through Kentucky, just had a few thoughts for you. Your stance on gay marriage is absurd. Exodus? Hope you haven't shaved your beard in a while. You're just as wrong as gays. I've never heard of a doctor with such ignorance and inability to understand basic human rights as yourself. That's how she starts. So it's a few tweets, one after another. I wrote back, thanks for listening and tweeting, And this answers your question. I put a link up about Levitical laws and what's the difference between laws concerning homosexuality and, say, shaving your beard. And then she tweets this: if he wanted an entire earth of heterosexual people, gay people wouldn't exist. Love is love. One person with one person, man or woman, God made everyone equally. He loves all, not only some people. I responded, wow, you gave every standard statement in a few seconds. If you'd like to know the truth, I can help you. If not, God bless. And then it continues from there. It gets really fun and interesting. I'll share it with you when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. I mentioned earlier today on the way into the studio, I flipped on the radio, was listening to Rush Limbaugh for a moment, and he said those that listen to his program are on the cutting edge of societal evolution. And I thought to myself, all right, listen to Rush Limbaugh and be on the cutting edge of societal evolution. Listen to the Line of Fire and be on the cutting edge of Jesus revolution. Oh. All right. 866-348-7884. Going to go to the phones in a moment. So when this young lady, Melissa, tweets her views, if God wanted an entire earth of heterosexual people, gay people wouldn't exist. Love is love. One person with one person, man or woman. God made everyone equally. He loves all, not only some people. I then responded, why only one person with one person? I mean, isn't that a fair question? Why only one person with one person? Why are you so intolerant toward polyamorists? And if God didn't want people to hurt each other, why did he make pedophiles and murderers? Because that's also what she said, right? If you want an entire earth of heterosexual people, gay people wouldn't exist. So I said, well, if God didn't want people to hurt each other, why did he make pedophiles and murderers? And are you willing to deny a brother and sister the right to marry? They have cases in the courts. Now, love is love, right? Again, if you want facts and truth and the real meaning of love, I'm glad to help. If not, God bless. She writes back, it's a choice to be a murderer. It's not a choice to be gay. Incest hurts children biologically. Gay people aren't hurting anyone. I replied, it's a choice to act on gay desires. Also, scientists say it isn't a choice to be a pedophile. Does that make it right? You said love is love. Why not polyamory? Please answer. And homosexual acts have higher health risks that hurts people. She replied, I've been listening to your, quote, truth for an hour. I'm not here to be angry at you. It isn't worth it. You have your opinion. But when gay rights are universal in this great nation, you will feel like the people who oppose the civil rights movement. And I responded to her saying this, you're 100% wrong, and I can prove it to you if you care. Or are you just one of those bigoted, hateful people? I realize I'm really amazed to hear so much anger and bigotry and intolerance in your tweets. Of course, I'm turning the tables on her, and she says, huh? I'm intolerant? I don't agree with polyamory. Not all people who believe in gay rights agree with polyamory, which is multiple partners, whatever you want to arrange. And I said, you said love is love. She responds, please keep your religion out of our courts. There is a separation between church and state. Oh, too bad I'm getting out of range of this awful talk radio show. I responded, the separation of church and state is meant to keep the state out of the church. Wow, where did you go to school? Here's what is shocking. Every tweet of yours insulted me and presented falsehoods. You haven't answered one of my questions. You seem angry, bigoted, hateful, and intolerant as if someone brainwashed you and you can't think for yourself. Sad. I'll go on with that in a little while. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Karen in Boston. Thanks so much for holding over from the last hour. And welcome
okay.
to the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
In light of the Supreme Court's decisions and things that have been happening with respect to gay rights, it just seems like, you know, God has been taking some slaps in the face, and I'm just wondering what your sense is in terms of his patience. I know he's patient and loving, but, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the men in the town tried to beat down the door to get to the angels, and, you know, they were pretty much struck down with blindness. So what is your sense of how much God is going to put up with this? Because I'm just wanting him to, like, answer back, you know, some way to let him
yeah,
know.
I really understand the sentiments, Karen. And, of course, Sodom and Gomorrah, the sexual outburst you see in Genesis 19 is the fruit of other wickedness in the society that the book of Ezekiel tells us about. So that's what we often see, that the sexual outbursts and the angry outbursts are the result of other things going on. I, for one, am amazed at God's mercy towards the church first, that with all the light that we have, with all the truth that we have, with so many Bibles and Bible versions and everything available at the tip of our fingers, there's so much compromise and lethargy and lukewarmness in our midst, so much sexual sin, so much rampant no-fault divorce, so much compromise of values and morals. So I'm amazed at God's mercy towards the church first, and then towards our society as a whole. Yeah, tell you the truth, if you or I had been God, we probably would have wiped out America a long time ago. We probably would have wiped out America in the days of the slave trade. We would have wiped out America in the days of segregation. We would have wiped out America when the Roe v. Wade decision came down. We would have wiped out America long before 55 million babies were destroyed. So on the one hand, there's incredible long-suffering and patience with God, but Romans 2 warns the unbeliever, don't mistake that. It is God's mercy and kindness designed to lead you to repentance. And that's the real issue, that God's mercy withholding judgment is not sanctioning anything, is not lessening the force of his judgment. It is rather giving us opportunity to repent. And that's what we're abusing more and more by the day, to be candid. So I leave judgment out. Just the way we're going is completely self-destructive as a society in so many ways. So it comes down to this, Karen. We either have revival, we either have an outpouring of the Spirit beginning with repentance in the church, that then leads over to the society, or we forget America as we know it. America as we know it, we could say goodbye to it. Karen, thank you for the call, the question, and your heart. Let's pray the prayer from Habakkuk 3 to God. In wrath, remember mercy. Friends, through the years of teaching in our ministry school, Maryland, Florida, North Carolina, different states, the most popular teaching series I ever did was called Giants of the Faith, where I looked at the lives of prayer warriors like Praying Hyde, or missionaries like Adoniram Judson, or the great evangelist of the Great Awakening, George Whitfield, or Charles Finney, or the Apostle of Faith, Smith Wigglesworth, charismatic, non-charismatic, looked at these different lives and taught on them. And then we took the 8 best classes, an hour and a half each, and put them on a CD. It is the number one most popular teaching series I've ever done. I've never offered it on radio for some reason in 5 years. It's yours for your gift of any size. And if you'd rather download the files rather than get a CD, we'll have a download code to you within 24 hours with your email address. So call right now. Help us as you're able to. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. We launch our new TV program, our national TV program, answering your toughest questions in 10 days. So now is a great time to stand with us, even become a monthly supporter. Do it, would you? 1-800-278-9978 for the Giants of the Faith teaching series.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. My heart has been totally ignited for 90 minutes now. And there are many reasons for it. One is the increasing wave of hostility, anger coming our way. Our views are now being completely ridiculed. Our views are now being held up as subject to ridicule. If you simply say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and a woman, if you simply say a kid does best with a mom and a dad, if you simply say, hey, I cannot embrace homosexuality as a God-ordained, God-blessed orientation or desire, you are now single. That it's like the atmosphere has changed and we are now open. It's open season on us and we are the hunted game. Now, I don't mean someone physically trying to attack us. I mean an all-out attack on our beliefs, our ideologies. Oh, it's been simmering. It's been rising. It's been increasing. And now it is totally out in the open. 866-348-7884. There's a discussion, clip 9, Joey, on ABC News Roundtable on the Supreme Court rulings from last week. Peggy Noonan, Matthew Dowd, Terry Moran, and Representative Donna Edwards. Listen to this discussion.
But the country has already decided this issue. The country has already decided about gay marriage. Whether the states will catch up and
even
how
though
long,
there's 37 states where it's banned.
No, let me give you an example of this. In the 1960s, the court made a decision that bans on interracial marriage would no longer exist. 20% of the country was only for that at that time. Mm-hmm. Today, more than a majority of the country is for gay marriage. So the court is actually trying to catch up to where the country is in the midst of this. I think what the court is dealing with is the ghosts of our past, trying to hold themselves in some tradition, and they're trying to make a balancing act, but trying to catch up to the 21st century America.
Yeah, so in other words, hey, public opinion has changed. So even you use a national poll, even though that may not reflect the states that have voted for marriage as a union of a man and a woman. So, hey, public opinion is going this direction. That's what the court's doing. So we have the right to overthrow what the people have voted for, even in California. listen to students ridiculing those who supported the Defense of Marriage Act. They're outside the Supreme Court. This is last week, of course, and they are ridiculing them as hideous and disgusting.
I'm sorry, but that's, like, it's hideous. It's disgusting. So I feel nothing for them at all. I don't feel bad that they are upset because this is unbelievable.
They tried to create another generation of second-class citizens, and we didn't let that happen.
Catch up with the times.
Yeah, it's not a meeting of the flat world society. Like, it's 2013. I'm trying to think of, like, a polite response, but I can't really think of a polite response to say to them. I can't.
Yep, so don't have to be polite towards our side. No reason to be tolerant towards it. This is just putting people in second-class citizenship. And please understand this. This transcends politics. Oh, our president is aggressively pushing. Here, please, everyone hear me. Our president, who is a black American, was a Democrat, is aggressively helping to lead the way. As president, he has that much power to lead the way. Even talking about, hey, states don't have this ruling, it may not stand. People voted for it, but hey, Supreme Court's now said DOMA's overturned. Let's remember, though, that the Supreme Court is almost entirely white, or largely white, and that the swing vote, Justice Kennedy, is a white man who was appointed by Republican President Ronald Reagan. This is a much bigger issue, and it's time we put aside partisan politics. It's time we put aside race issues. It's time we unite around the gospel and social righteousness. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Do we change our mindset? Do we change our attitude? Do we change our approach now that courts have ruled differently and societal opinion in many ways has changed? No. No, of course not. We continue, number one, to major on the majors. The definition of marriage is not the major issue. Abortion, as critical as that is not the major issue. 100 other things that are critical, high on the list, not the major issue. The number one issue is calling people to turn from sin and put their faith in Jesus and submit to him as Lord. That's number one issue. Now, as disciples, we are not simply called to preach the gospel, but to live the gospel. And that means standing for what is right. Now here's the deal. I constantly have the ability to share the gospel, I should say the opportunity to share the gospel with people because we start talking about social issues. I constantly have an opportunity to model the character of Jesus with others, constantly, and to have extended conversations, especially as I fly, with those who differ with me, with out and proud gay men and women and so on. And they'll know as out and proud as they are, that's as out and proud as I am. And I often make reference to this one conversation. It's not the only one I've had, but it's illustrative. 866-348-7884. I was flying to Rome. I really wanted to, I had a threefold agenda on the flight. I wanted to get some sleep. I wanted to do some writing. And I wanted to unwind when I wasn't writing and I wasn't sleeping. So I did not want to have a long, intense conversation with whoever was sitting next to me. The gentleman sitting next to me immediately begins to talk to me about he's going to Rome to meet with his partner. He's an out and proud gay man, flight attendant, off duty that day, with cost him almost nothing to fly to Rome on a business class ticket and so on. I was upgraded with all the flying that I do, cashed in miles. So we're sitting together in business class. We begin to talk. He's out and proud. I'm out and proud. I ask him his life story. He tells me I'm tearing up as he's telling me the story, the pain, everything he's gone through. And I share my perspective. We go back and forth. At the end of the flight, we exchanged email addresses. And I asked him, if you met someone who held to everything I hold to, would you consider that person a homophobe? He said, yes. I said, you consider me a homophobe? He goes, oh, no, I heard your heart. It's great to hear a conservative with a heart. We can hold to all of our convictions, but we must demonstrate the character and love of Jesus in every way. It's not either or. It is not either or. A few years back, I reached out to a local gay journalist. I'm not sure where he is now, but I reached out to him some years ago. I guess he's in his 40s at that time. And he was eager to talk because I said, look, we have profound differences. He was bashing our side and as out and proud as you could be. And I was taking issue with things. And I said, hey, we got to be in the same neighborhood. You know, let's talk. He was super eager to do it. Absolutely eager to do it. So he said, tell you what, there's this place, a Greek restaurant, little place behind it. I like to sit and reflect. It's quiet. How about we meet there? So I said, sure. So he said, no, we got to get our sandwiches, and we go from, I thought it was behind the restaurant we got to sit. That was outdoor. We got to sit there. But no, we actually had a drive. So we get our sandwiches, and I hop in my car. He's in his car. And and he had a Coexist bumper sticker. And we drive off, and as we're driving, I'm wondering where in the world are we going? We drive into a cemetery. And we're driving through this cemetery to a quiet part of the cemetery. Cemeteries are quiet by definition, but I mean just really away from traffic on the road and everything. And there's a little bench, really just concrete slab kind of bench. And we sit down and start having our lunch, and we're talking back and forth. And I said to him, something came up, and I said, if I knew a man was attracted to me, that would be repulsive to me. He said, repulsive? He said, you know, if a woman's attracted to him, even though he's not attracted to her, he's complimented by that. And he said, I'm wondering now if you're a little homophobic saying that. I said, if I was homophobic, would I be sitting here at a bench in the middle of a cemetery having lunch with you? And he smiled and laughed. So the fact of the matter is, we are friends, we are neighbors, we are coworkers, we are family members. And as such, we're going to demonstrate the character of Jesus 24/7. That's who we are and what we're called to do. But because someone calls me mean-spirited, bigoted, intolerant, I'm not going to back away from what's right. Because someone blasts me and says, well, if you hold to this, if you hold to that, then you're against me and you're full of hate. Therefore, what we're supposed to do is capitulate. No, that is moral and spiritual suicide. To quote Winston Churchill once again, an appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile hoping it will eat him last. See, friends, we are being told you do not have the right to hold to these things any further. Joey, clip number 10. There are gay activists who are saying plainly what they are going after. Here's an attorney who argued against Prop 8, and he and leaders with the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, they're making plain within a number of years we want to overturn everything. Let's go with Part A on clip number 10. They want to overturn what states have passed. They want to make it the law of the land. The president is really backing that, saying not as a lawyer, but as the president. Listen to this.
In 5 years, our goal is to have marriage equality throughout the country. I think that's an achievable goal.
That was Attorney David Boies following the Supreme Court decision, which cleared the way for same-sex marriages in California to resume. David Boies, thanks for being here. And I wonder, as a lawyer or as a voter, you look at Proposition 8, which in California banned same-sex marriage. It was a vote of the people in California. Do you have a problem with what some people see as overturning the will of the people? The court saying, I don't care what you people voted. Here's what we think.
Right. And this is the answer that he gives. And this is his response. Friends, this is coming your way. Maybe you're one of those 30 states that voted saying marriage is the union of a man and a woman. There are gay activists and there are allies of gay activists who are coming your way to overturn it, which means you're going to have things taught in your schools to your kids that you don't agree with. And perhaps you'll be required to have them taught in Christian school and homeschool. It's not a reach to say that at all, friends. And perhaps you will not be allowed to preach and teach certain things from the pulpit. Why should bigotry in the name of religion be tolerate it. Listen to the next part of that clip.
There are certain rules, there are certain fundamental rights that are so important to our society that the Constitution guarantees them. If you hadn't overruled the will of the people in Brown against Board of Education, you'd still have segregated schools.
Right.
If you hadn't overruled the will of the people in Virginia, in Loving against Virginia in 1967, when the Supreme Court overturned a ban on interracial marriage, you'd still have bans on people marrying just because they were different races. When you have violations of fundamental rights, the whole purpose of a constitution and the whole purpose of our judicial system is to be sure that those are enforced regardless of what a temporary majority may or may not say.
Ah, was that packed with information or what? Number one, notice he's saying, you better believe we're going to overturn the will of the people, and we should overturn the will of the people. That's number one. Number two, he's saying there's a fundamental right that two men or two women have to marry each other. There's no such right in the Constitution, as Justice Alito pointed out in a minority dissent last week. And number three, he says this is the temporary majority. In other words, opinions are going to change. Maggie Gallagher with the National Organization of Marriage had a great article saying this is exactly how it looked in 73 with Roe v. Wade, that public opinion was changing, that the younger generation had fully embraced abortion on demand and so on, so that it was inevitable that all of the nation would accept it. Oh, don't count on that. Don't count on that. If it does accept it, it is going to destroy itself. In other words, every other form of so-called marriage and sexual relationship and orientation will have to be endorsed. When you now have states saying that someone, a man who identifies as a woman, can have sex change surgery and then have their birth certificate changed to say that they were actually born the other way. When you have literal moral and social insanity, when that happens, friends, it's not the sky is the limit. There is no limit to what can come, which then utterly destroys the meaning and fabric of society. But the last thing in my mind is throw in the towel. To the contrary, this is our time to rise and shine and make a difference. This is why we came into the kingdom for such a time as this. And this is the time to preach Jesus without shame. Phil, you've been hanging on for a long time. I'm getting to your call as soon as we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as we serve as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I'm not going to have a chance to play another clip of a long interchange last week with a caller. But we have it up on YouTube where you can listen to it and just watch the screen as you listen to it. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the latest video. If you haven't watched my response to the Supreme Court, that's there. Click on the latest articles. Also to read my full Twitter exchange with a young, confused woman. Obviously, she thinks she's thinking clearly, and I differ. And also my article, Playing Candy Crush Saga While America Burns. You can read both of those by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest articles there. Look, as followers of Jesus, friends, remember, we put down the sword and we take up the cross. We put down the sword of hostility, of anger, of intimidation. We put down our conservative political, I'm going to get you, and we take up the cross, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hostility with kindness, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming quick angry tempers with patience. That's how we overcome in Jesus. To the phones, Phil in White Plains, New York, thanks so much for holding through the show. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. One basic comment, very basic, and then I have something a little bit more interesting to share with you, followed by a quick question to you. Jesus said, be fruitful and multiply. And with that being said, obviously homosexuals are unable to do that. You know, the heterosexuals, if it wasn't for the heterosexuals, there would be no people in the world, including those that turned out to be homosexual. So there's got to be getting back to reality and stopping the pathology of saying we don't have tolerance. There's a reason why there may be a lack of tolerance. That being said...
Yeah, and let me just comment quickly, Phil. Of course, our gay friends would say, well, there are enough heterosexuals on the planet doing a perfectly good job of reproducing. We don't. Not everyone has to reproduce. In fact, we're faced with an overpopulation challenge. So, you know, they would raise that. But you're right to say that it's not intolerant to say God designed a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man. And for those who believe the scriptures, that God's intent was only male-female union. There's nothing intolerant about saying that any more than it's intolerant to say I hold firmly to the idea that the earth goes around the sun. But anyway, back to you.
The more interesting point I wanted to make was this. In the homosexual relationship, be it a male homosexual relationship or a female homosexual relationship, a lesbian relationship, there is a role playing that goes on. They recreate the heterosexual relationship, whether they admit it or not, much like an alcoholic or a drug user will never admit that they have a problem until it gets to the point of AIDS or gets to the point of a problem. In the male homosexual relationship, you have, not in all of them, but you have the ones that recreate playing the part of the woman. the very act is the act a little bit distorted, obviously, but you have the male and you have the female, and the same in the lesbian relationship. You've got your butch and your dyke.
All right. So in other words, again, at the risk of stereotyping or the risk of, and as you said, not in every case, but if you saw, for example, the picture of Ellen DeGeneres, quote, her marriage to Portia de Rossi, one of them was wearing the pants and the other's wearing the gown, right? That it's, you may have two in gowns, but often you'll have one that's wearing slacks and the other wearing a gown, as if, or you'll have a relationship where one guy is the stay-at-home dad and the other guy is the one out earning the living and so on. Your point being that the male-female pattern is still required in a relationship?
It's required. Not only is it required, but in there trying to justify the pathology, or what I will call a pathology, not only in what they wear, but how they look and what they do in the very act. The very toys that a lesbian relationship uses symbolizes it.
All right. And not only do you not need to, but we have a lot of families that listen. I meet little kids that listen to the show, so I'm always careful with vocabulary and try to use terms that are either not understood or spoken in more generic ways. But there was a question also you had. I appreciate the observations, though, Phil. But there was a question you had.
The question was, do you believe that our Lord and Savior, that God is creating, we know the scripture says it's not good. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. He's not, therefore, creating them. They all seem to have a very similar pattern of voice, of intonation, of pitch. Is it learned behavior? Is it born that way? If he's born that way, then it's either our Lord made a mistake, which this doesn't do, or this is some kind of a residual effect of sin down. What is the answer to this question?
All right. Yeah, Phil, great question. And I'm looking at the clock, so I've got to give you a one-minute answer. Number one, God does not create someone to act in a morally sinful or objectionable way. That's the first thing. The second thing is that many men that identify as gay do have certain similar behaviors, or I'm not talking about sexual behaviors, or characteristics. And sometimes what it is that people with a certain disposition, people who are more sensitive, artistic, various things like that, then in a certain environment, then perhaps abused, etc., they may have a greater chance of ending up identifying as gay. So in other words, it's correlation but not causation. There is the effect of human sin on the human race, so that human beings are born with all types of sinful desires that are not the direct creation of God, but the result of being descendants of human beings, that Adam has a child in his own image and likeness, according to Genesis 5. So every human being is not just created by God in an abstract way, but we pass down through the human race with all flaws, sinful things, etc., being passed on and then further developed. And then there are things which are behaviors that are developed and learned. Sometimes a boy just raised by sisters and mother or grandmother takes on more feminine characteristics. Some, when they adopt a certain lifestyle, do that. But certainly God does not create someone gay. But Phil, thank you for the call. All right, friends, 10 days to the launch of our national TV show, Answering Your Toughest Questions. Please stand with us. If you haven't gone to my website, AskDrBrown.org, go there right on the homepage. You can click to find out more. And for the first time ever, we're offering my teaching series, Giants of the Faith, which for many years has been our number one most loved teaching class. And we deal with some charismatic Pentecostal leaders as well, for those interested in that. And we deal with people like George Whitfield and Missionary Judson, Adoniram Judson, and we study their lives. It's eye-opening, and you can even download this as well. If you give us your email within 24 hours, you'll get download information if you don't want the CD. And it's yours, 12 hours of teaching for your gift of any size. But please call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, God calls us to reach out and resist. That hasn't changed. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage.